Welcome to Cinema Savants, your weekly dose of movie news, movie reviews, and the occasional rumor, with your hosts, Todd Vandenberg and Rob Steele.
And coming up in this week's show, Star Wars gets a rating, Star Trek loses an actor, and Scooby-Doo gets an absolutely unnecessary prequel. But first, and I'm going to say this really callously, Jim Neighbors died again this week, much to the dismay of all of his fans. And this time it took. That's the way I'm going to phrase this. Which is a horrible way of phrasing it. However, there is a point. We need to stop getting all hung up in the whole fake celebrity death thing when it goes around, because I saw the Jim Neighbors news, and I'm not exactly a fan, but, you know, someone died, 'tis sad. And I thought, Jim Neighbors, I thought he was already dead, and I looked it up, and I found four separate viral things, I guess, that have floated around the net that said he died in 2015, 2012, 2009, and I've forgotten when the other one was, but it was in there somewhere. So this week, CNN announced it. I guess that was there's the kicker. It was real news. Do you know a way to combat this? Because this is, it's getting old, and it's just, I don't even understand the purpose of it.
I understand the purpose of it because typically once it's clickbait when sites come up with that, because I fell into that a couple times, and I no longer do that because anytime I see a celebrity death on Facebook, if I'm interested, then I go look on actual news sites. Right. And if I'm not, then I ignore it. So I basically...
Yeah, for me, it was a peripheral thing. I was like, Jim Neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was already dead, because he's not someone I pay attention to.
Your post was the first one I saw regarding Jim Neighbors. You know, I thought he was already dead. I guess, frankly, I was like, was he? I don't know, blah, blah, blah. So then I checked. I was like, oh, yeah, that's sad. He is dead.
Yeah.
And again, not making light of his death.
Not of the actual death.
Right, right. It's just how, for whatever reason, people, well... Like I said, mainly it's clickbait because, oh, so-and-so died. Like the rumor that Andrew Lincoln had died and John Hamm had died. And usually it's someone bigger and more current.
Gabriel Iglesias.
And then you'll... Yeah. Because then you'll go... ow, that joke hurt. Anyway.
That was not necessarily meant as a literal, oh, he's fluffy, bigger thing. He actually had one of those on him and talked about it in one of his shows. That's where I was going. I was not making fun of Fluffy.
Fluffy. He is very funny, though. He's funny and fluffy. But yeah, I mean, you go on there and there's like, oh, look, there's 6,000 ads on that page. And if you want to find out the details, then you click through a few more times. And then, oh, this is at the bottom, there's a disclaimer often. Oh, this is a parody site. It's like, it's not a parody to announce that someone died. So it's just... Mainly it's just scams, and then people will see it peripherally and they'll run with it and they'll say, oh my God, did you hear this? And then eventually someone will say, no, they're still alive, or no, they died 5 years ago, whichever way it runs. Because, I get, you know, in 2021, we'll be reading, oh, Jim Neighbors just died.
Again.
And people will go, oh, that's so
sad. The other thing is we're getting the other side of it too.
Right.
Where exactly. Someone will post on Facebook, oh no, Andy Griffith died. I'm like, yeah, like a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess is the opposite of the fake death thing.
It is odd. It's a weird phenomenon that, for one thing, that we're so compelled to, oh, look, that person died. I mean, why is that even a thing? It's pretty strange.
Unless it's, you know, what was his name? Paul Walker. Unless it was an accidental death where you go, what? He was what? 16 years old. And I know Paul Walker was more than that. But unless it was an accidental thing of someone who shouldn't have died, usually it's an actor like Jim Neighbors, who, I'll be honest, I'd forgotten about because it's been so long since I'd seen, heard, thought anything about him that, you know, you can get away with things like that, I guess. So, you know, it's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel depressed.
Well, you can get away with a lot, apparently. Although not so much as what people used to be able to get away with. We'll talk about that later.
Yes, we'll get to that soon. Since last show, we've had a trailer get released.
Yes,
finally, and it has become the most watched trailer of all time. A whopping 230 million views in 24 hours.
That's so insane. Oh my
I'll
gosh.
Admit, I was two of them.
well, I was one. So
okay. Well, the second one was number two now is It, which has two letters, so that's appropriate, I think. 197 million. So, wow. Avengers 3 finally had a trailer come out, although... since that came out Wednesday, Tuesday, they released a video that was just short of 2 minutes long. It was a teaser for the trailer showing fan reactions to previous Marvel trailers. And it was actually – it was very well done. It had, you know, lovely CGI credits. And it was well mixed. And had high production quality. And I thought, if you're going to bother doing that, then just put out the damn trailer.
Which they then did. So that's
just not the point. They bothered to make something that – clickbait.
And now you know, listeners, why when a movie has a production cost of $300 million, not the Avengers 3, another movie, why they need to make $700 million to make a profit, because they do crap like this.
Ta-da.
Anyway.
Regardless, I actually liked the Comic-Con trailer that leaked better.
I did too.
Although most of the shots were the same, there were a few new ones. Thanos, our bad guy for Avengers 3, mm-hmm. looked very CG. And I'm wondering, could they not have made a prosthetic for his chin? And my daughter brought this up. He looked a lot better at the end, in the closing credits, end credits, whatever it was, of Avengers 1 than he does in this movie. What? And your thoughts?
I didn't really feel that way, that he looked that off. But man, I'm in the minority. Well, I don't know if I'm in the minority, but there is a very vocal group on the internet. I mean, there are contests that have come up to create a better looking Thanos. So it's that opinion is definitely out there for sure. Yeah. Me, I didn't feel that way, but. You know, now I think about it, he did look better sitting on the throne, which makes me think perhaps that was a prosthetic. And I don't know.
Maybe it just doesn't work well in action. Because sometimes prosthetics do that. You have to stay in a position.
Yeah, and we'll see. We'll see where the finished product comes out, because who knows? They could still be tweaking it.
They could.
They got plenty of time, after all. So it's not like this thing is coming out in a week, so...
One of the big things about the trailer is they're looking for the Infinity Stones, which used to be Infinity Gems if you go back to the books, but we're being picky.
Mm-hmm.
The Gauntlet, and I noticed this, and I'm not sure many other people did, only had room for 5 stones. There were supposed to be 6, but we only know of 5, and a lot of people have been wondering, well, where's the 6th stone? Where's stone number 6? Oh, it's in Wakanda, which we haven't even gotten to yet. That's in the Black Panther movie.
Right.
That's going to come out before Avengers 3. But there's only room for 5 if you pause on the glove and go, hang on a minute, and do this weird thing I do occasionally called counting.
maybe he's going to palm it.
He could. It's for the glove on the other hand.
Yeah. Maybe it's polydactyly, and it's one for the extra finger. I don't know.
It is odd. It wouldn't surprise me if there is just 5 at this point.
Although maybe they just decided, which would be a really odd choice. Well, we can't really see where the 6th one would fit, so we'll just go with 5. Because, like you said, Wakanda.
Yeah.
That would be a perfect fit and a perfect tie-in. And it would make sense of battle scenes in a certain area, which are in the Avengers film, which if you haven't seen the trailer, there's a battle scene in a certain place. So,
Yeah. Although I did notice a couple people missing from the trailer. I don't know if this is on purpose or not. I know they've got to be in it somewhere.
I'm sure.
Hawkeye and Ant-Man, not in the trailer.
Are you sure Ant-Man's not in the trailer?
Ant-Man is in the he's in the comic book flippy thing for the Marvel logo.
He might be teeny tiny.
He could be.
Yeah, actually, I didn't see Ant-Man in the trailer, and I didn't see Hawkeye, but maybe they're not. Because
they might not be.
Ant-Man Wasp, he may be busy elsewhere.
That's possible.
And pop in for Avengers 4. And Hawkeye, maybe he finally did get to retire and hang out with a wife and kiddies. Which would be, if they have a reference shot, I mean, he's got to be in the movie somewhere. And he wouldn't sit this one out because
it's Jeremy Renner. He has to be in the. It's a movie. He
that's has to true. Be in it. I think he's in 4 or 5 a year. It's amazing his name isn't Chris because he's in everything also.
Well, that's his middle name.
Probably and, is. Probably is.
Him and Hardwick hang out a lot.
I do like Jeremy Renner a lot. And it's kind of odd to me. He's one of those guys, like we were talking about Jude Law last week. To me, it seems that he would be a bigger star. And he's one of these guys who's just, he's not going to be. But been around quite a while. I mean, the Hurt Locker. He's been around for quite a while. And just doesn't seem to have that star power that other people do. Kind of odd.
Now, something that came up again this week in regards to Marvel movies.
Yeesh.
Guess who's looking to buy Fox again?
Yes. Disney.
Disney's making a hard push to buy Fox again so they can get the Fantastic Four and the X-Men back. In addition to X-Files and Avatar and everything that... Is it 21st Century Fox now? Officially, because I keep seeing the 20th Century Fox logo on movies that have come out since the century flipped.
Well, by the time they buy it, it might be 22nd Century Fox.
32nd.
32nd Century. That'd be cool.
152nd. See, that's a segue. The 152nd minute of the new Star Wars movie, which is also Disney, means that there's going to that The Last Jedi is going to be the longest Star Wars movie ever. My thing about that is how much of that is going to be credits? Because with as
32 minutes of credits,
it's something like that. With as many special effects that are going into movies now, that means more people are working on it. Therefore, we get longer credits and shorter movies. You can get a movie with the movie itself 80 minutes long. The whole complete runtime, 3 days, because you've got credits for Steve did this pixel on this particular frame, and here's the guy who helped him go to the bathroom, and here's somebody who did his makeup, even though he doesn't wear any, and here's someone who bought his lunch on Tuesday. And all of these people are in the credits, and I agree that everybody deserves credit for what they did in a movie, but damn.
Yeah, when they got to the point that they started putting the caterers on, that's when they lost me on that. And then they've been doing that for a long, long time. Don't really need to know.
Well, there was the Lord of the Rings trailer, the movies. They had a thing that if you help support the movie production through this website, we'll put your name in the credits. And so there's like 5 minutes at the end of each movie of everybody who donated time or money or something. And it's just, here's people who helped, and roll the New York phone book, which is excessive, I think. Although the other Star Wars movie news we have this week is it's kind of has a rating. Kind of. In the UK, it is a 12A rating, which is the equivalent of PG-13.
Which makes sense.
And I'm there with that. You know, if you're after 12, 12A. Got it. After 12 is 13. PG-13. See, it all ties together. It's all nice and simple. So there we go. But that's in the UK. That's just the UK rating. It may be different here because they have a thing about a movie has to be rated PG-13 or higher if there's a headbutt in it. Did you know that? That's a UK thing, and I don't quite get that, but if that's what they want to do.
Hmm.
So was Star Wars Episode 2, the headbutt that Boba Fett gives Obi-Wan is actually cut from the UK version because they'd have to make it like, no, it has to be R-rated if they have a headbutt. So they cut that scene out.
I guess headbutts replace guns in the UK. So that's what they have to do. Very strange. Weird. That's very weird. 21st Century Fox, by that is the official name.
Okay.
Just had to double check.
Just checking. Actually, other news out of the UK. This is very brief. This Friday, the Grand Tour restarts on TV, which I'm very happy about. And they got rid of one of the characters from it, which is The American, who was a really bad idea. He was supposed to replace the Stig from Top Gear, but it didn't work very well. And they've replaced the celebrity brain crash segment, where a celebrity would supposedly come on to be interviewed and they kill him on the way in. That's why Jeremy Renner's not in Avengers 3, because he got killed off on the Grand Tour.
That would make sense. That would make sense.
They didn't kill them. Charlize Theron was killed by a lion. Jeremy Renner, his parachute didn't open. There was some Scottish guy who was supposedly a heavy alcoholic who died of alcohol poisoning on his way to the tent. It's not real. Anyway, they replaced that segment with Celebrity Face Off. And they're going to have two celebrities in cars, and they're going to do laps of the track against each other. And supposedly the first show this Friday is going to have David Hasselhoff. No word yet on whether he's going to be driving an early 80s Trans Am.
Needs to do that.
He's supposedly facing off against Ricky Wilson, and I have no idea who that is. Apparently he's a musician, but I don't have a clue as to who he is. So anyway, on to more news that I am much more interested in than Ricky Wilson. There's a documentary. Well, no, it is being made. There's no supposedly. A documentary being made on Star Trek Deep Space Nine, which I've heard about for a while, and I'm looking forward to seeing it because that was actually my favorite Star Trek. Yes, there was no Enterprise. I don't care. I thought it was a brilliant show. Anyway, the director was Adam Nimoy, son of Leonard, who was Spock. And he's left to focus on personal commitments and other creative endeavors, which does not bode well for a documentary, and it makes me sad. Because I was looking forward to this, and I'm hoping it still comes out.
Personal commitments and other endeavors. So, obviously, he and the producers or studio really didn't agree the direction things were going. That's what that says.
I guess.
Whether he was fired or he quit, they were obvious that, I mean, you don't just quit a documentary on something, especially with the ties he would have to the franchise. So, oh, I'm just going to go do something else. No. So, you know, unless he was offered, oh, you're going to be the director of the next Star Trek motion picture, you know, that would be a little different.
That's different.
Yeah, which clearly didn't happen because that wasn't what was announced. So, interesting.
Although it does make more sense than what happened with Bohemian Rhapsody, which is, it's not exactly a documentary, it's a bio on Freddie Mercury and Queen, which they've been talking about forever.
Yes, they have.
And it's kind of odd that it's been put on hold because Bryan Singer seems to have dropped off the planet. He just disappeared. He didn't return to the set after Thanksgiving. You know, saying, hey, I'm going to go spend time with my family. And then just poof, no one has seen or heard from him since, which is kind of creepy. And having said that, you're going to find something that says, oh, he showed up this morning. Yeah, it's very weird. Apparently, he's been having trouble with Rami Malek, who's playing Freddie Mercury. But you don't just disappear like that, even if you are Bryan Singer.
Odd. He's another person, and we will get into the stories more, but the sexual harassment thing. So perhaps that's why he's dropped out of sight, because he's dealing with this. But, that's unfortunate as far as that film project goes, because I was really looking forward to that. And early clips of Malek were like, wow, this could be really amazing.
It does look like him. Wow, it's impressive.
Yeah.
Although another biopic that's coming out this summer, and this one is more documentary because unfortunately he's no longer with us. It's a film called Won't You Be My Neighbor? A documentary on Mr. Rogers, which is like Queen, but very different. I'm kidding. I don't see very many carbon-based life forms. There's the similarity with Queen. Yeah, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was huge when I was growing up.
Yes, it was.
Admittedly, didn't care for it that much, but it was still very popular. And, you know, Fred Rogers died back in, what was it, 2003, I think it was. This is not a fake news thing. Bringing it back up.
No, it was last week.
It was. But yeah, he did a lot of really cool stuff. You know, even, you know, addressing Congress and saying, hey, stop doing what you're doing with a variety of issues, actually. So I think it'll be interesting to see. And I think it's actually coming to PBS.
Which would be extremely appropriate. If you haven't seen the clip, and odds are you probably haven't seen the clip, listeners, but I'm sure it's available on YouTube. Just Google Fred Rogers Senate, and that should get it for you. It's definitely worth watching because it's so impressive just how he talks about the importance of
PBS
and teaching children, and because he wasn't an educator, and the fact that, at least according to the senator who reacts to him, he basically saved PBS's children programming budget from getting axed back in the 70s, just with 5 minutes of testimony, because that's how powerful it is. It's definitely worth watching. So, I mean, and I'm sure we will joke about it in the future, including when it comes out. But I'm really looking forward to this because that is a very interesting guy. Very interesting guy. I mean, he doesn't fit the profile of what we think of as heroes, but literally he was a hero.
Yeah. So that'll be cool, I think. Looking forward to that.
That'd be very, very cool.
Something I've stopped looking forward to, though, just because I'm tired of hearing about it already.
Because we can have nice things.
I know. The Avatar sequels.
Yeah.
Like I said, I stopped caring a while back, but even James Cameron sounds like he's waffling a bit now. Let's see, where's his quote? His quote said about the upcoming 4 more movies. Let's face it, if Avatar 2 and 3 don't make enough money, there's not going to be a 4 and 5.
Well, duh.
Well, you know, that exactly, but at the same time, you don't usually hear that from the director of that movie made a ton of money.
Right. That's what I was thinking. It's like, actually, as much money as you made from that, you could probably afford to do 10. But, you know, that's besides
that would point. Require you spending the money.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to do that.
No. alimony to Linda Hamilton? I'm just saying. And at this point, I'm not going to go see Avatar 2 and 3. You're going to have to seriously blow me away with a trailer to get me to go see these movies at this point. Because they've been rumored since, what, I think it was the Revolutionary War.
Just about.
Washington crossed the Delaware and said, I demand the next 2 Avatar movies. So,
although, here's a different take on that. I mean, I'm coming in the same boat with you. I mean, I liked Avatar, but I wasn't blown away by it like
you, me, and
a lot of people were.
All in the same boat.
In the same boat. Christopher Nolan, the Batman trilogy director, had a quote the other day about the pressures that are under the creators of superhero franchise flicks now. And he probably said this is kind of self-serving because he's involved with the DC franchise still as a executive producer. And some of those movies have tanked. And he said the reason, and I get what he's saying. Part of it is because there's such a time frame now. It's like the audience is demanding, we got to see the next one. We got to see the next one. And he said he had time between the Batman films to just kind of let them, he didn't say this, but basically to let them simmer. And that's why one reason why they're pretty different films, and they are. All three films are pretty different. He went off and did another project in between, and he had time to kind of think, okay, where do I want to take things, as opposed to bang, 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 let's get these things cranked out.
Right.
Maybe that will help with Avatar, and most people would think Avatar doesn't need any help. You know, I think it does, personally, because to me it was too much of a formula. It played out the formula perfectly, but to me, it's kind of like Ferngully with live action. I mean, it was a lot like that. And I love Ferngully, but...
Okay, so Ferngully, right?
Yeah.
Back when Ferngully came out, and if you don't know the movie, it's an animated eco movie. It was good.
Yeah.
But I have a nephew who, when this movie came out, he had a, I don't know if he had a speech impediment or what, but he could not call it Fern. It was his favorite movie, but he could not call it Ferngully. And it took forever to figure out what he was saying, because he would run around the house going, Fungally, Fungally, Fungally. And I'm like, what? What the hell are you saying?
Something was wrong.
Until eventually he could reach the video cassette, because they had VHS in those days. Fungally. And we go, oh, Ferngully.
Yes, got they did. It.
Fungally, Fungally.
Fungally. Which would fit with the Avatar.
See, there we go. Ta-da! You mentioned DC, which is a good segue into this next bit. From the DC streaming service that is supposedly coming next year with a Titans live-action series, and they've released the first picture of Brenton Thwaites as Robin. It looks like it belongs in one of the Batman movies. And I'm not terribly surprised by the way this looks. I think he looks like, go figure, Robin.
Yeah, he looks like Robin.
Who knew?
He should.
And you have any comments on his costume?
My comment is, I'm happy. Okay. I mean, a lot of times, how often have we seen it where they change costumes up so much and it's like, really? Why did you not go with the classic look? Of course, we haven't seen the whole thing, so we don't know. Does he have the hot pants, or does he have the pants? You know, we don't know that.
Right.
But you know, I don't care. I mean, because either one works for Robin. I'm happy that he looks like freaking Robin. He's not apparently wearing some sort of weird armor, Flash. So, you know.
Well, I mean, it looks like modern armor. It doesn't look like, I forgot his name, Ezra.
Yeah.
Miller?
Ezra Miller, yeah.
Ezra Miller's plate mail.
Yeah, exactly. If the show is as good as Robin's costume, I'll be super happy.
As will I. And you might actually get me to subscribe to your service. So there.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but... Oh, my God. I mean, at this point, why don't we have a subscription service for streaming our show? I mean, holy crap.
I'll set it up.
This is insane.
But if you've been listening so far, you'll get it for free.
There you go.
See? Make it nice for everybody. Let's see, what else do we have? Last week I talked about James Franco.
Indeed you did.
Possibly being Jamie Madrox, the Multiple Man, in a forthcoming Fox-owned Marvel movie. And Franco has confirmed that he is doing a superhero project, but he hasn't said which one.
Interesting.
He said that with new hard R movies like Deadpool and Logan, it's now the time to do a superhero movie. And I'm like, Madrox is not an R-rated hero.
What's he doing? The Punisher? That doesn't fit.
No, it doesn't work. So maybe that's not what he's doing. And quite frankly, at this point, I think that would be nice if that wasn't what he was doing. I'd like him to, if he wants to do a movie, that's fine, but don't take this character, and you'd have to seriously pervert it to make it an R movie. He's a comedic character. He's, you know, got some very cool aspects to him. He's just not R-rated and doesn't need to be.
And a comedic character fits really well for James Franco, obviously.
It does.
But I've already seen Multiplicity, and frankly, I'd rather see Michael Keaton play him. He'd be a really old one, but that's okay.
That's not the point.
I know.
Old Man Madrox. There we go. Let's see. There's a bunch of rebake and refried and reboot and all that good stuff. News this week, including one that we don't need this. It's a prequel, live action, for Scooby-Doo, focusing on how Daphne met Velma, or Velma met Daphne. Supposedly, Freddy, Shaggy, and Scooby are not even in it. Which I'm guessing they're going with the Gotham storyline concept on this. We're making something set in the Batman universe without Batman in it.
Yeah,
we'll make a Scooby-Doo movie without Scooby-Doo in it. Why?
Yeah, if it's going to be on the CW, okay. Other than that, no. And it's actually, supposed to be including that, video. No. Well, that makes sense. And it still sounds like it's an awful idea. It sounds like that's just a bad idea for a middle school play, let alone a movie. Jeez. Why would anybody care? And it's not because it's the two female characters. I don't care about, this is when Freddy met Scooby or Shaggy, whatever. When Shaggy adopted Scooby. I don't care. That's ridiculous.
That was called a pup named Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, which...
Which did not need to be made either, but we're being picky.
Yeah, there you go.
Speaking of not needing to be made, David S. Goyer is in talks to make a Masters of the Universe movie. And if you don't know Masters of the Universe, that would be the rather lazily named He-Man. Who has become popular of late because of Skeletor memes, Skeletor being the bad guy in Masters of the Universe. We already had a movie for this. And
yes, we did.
With Dolph Lundgren, even. And it was not good.
Well, it's Dolph Lundgren.
Well, that's probably a good point.
The world's beefiest med school student.
Do we need to bring He-Man back? Is this necessary? I don't...
Well, it's more necessary than a Velma movie, but...
That's true.
I'm sure the property is relatively cheap, and there we're off to the races.
Ta-da! So. Yeah, that's unnecessary. How about this one? Warner Brothers have announced plans to remake Cleopatra Jones.
Again... Relatively cheap.
I guess.
For the rights.
If you don't know Cleopatra Jones, it was a 73, I think, blaxploitation movie. Kind of a Shaft, only with different plumbing.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not belittling it. That's just the way I'm explaining it. That's really bizarre, because they are remaking Shaft again as a TV series, and then this. Is blaxploitation a thing that comes around every... I guess it's going to have to be 50 years at this point. Is that... That just seems like a weird thing to be cyclical.
That does. Apparently, they're rebooting Shaft also.
Right.
Again, which they did that a few years ago. It's kind of odd. And they're also doing Superfly, so apparently, yeah, they're really flying with this. It's kind of weird.
All right. How's this? One of Disney's remakes, the live action version of Mulan, has finally cast the character of Mulan.
That's helpful.
An actress named
Scarlett Johansson. No.
No, thankfully they seem to have gotten it right.
Oh, good.
She's known as Crystal Liu. Her real name is Liu Yifei. I hope I'm pronouncing that correct, because there's no pronunciation thing on this sheet, nor can I find one anywhere. She was in The Forbidden Kingdom with Jackie Chan and Outcast with Nicolas Cage and the wonderful piece of wood known as Hayden Christensen.
All right, then.
So she looks the part. That what? Casting an Asian person in an Asian role? That's racist? What? No. They did it right. So keep it up. Do it correctly. speaking of Asian things, I don't know if you saw this trailer this week. Going back to DC for just a moment, there's one of the animated movies that's coming out this next year, Batman Ninja.
Yes, I saw the trailer.
Where they took the Batman universe, set it in Japan, and made it an anime. Only it's a cel-shaded anime, so I'm not terribly fond of that particular style. But it still looked like it would be interesting to watch. You have any thoughts on this?
Oh, yeah, it looks crazy, which makes me happy. It looks very, very interesting. Off the chain, as the kids used to say.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think it looks awesome, and it'll definitely be a very different kind of story. And as I read it, the peers, I wasn't really clear from the story. Are they actually the modern day characters transported literally within the framework of the story, or is they're just set in that? I wasn't sure which way that was going.
I read that they're transported back in time, but I watched the trailer and went, no.
Right.
For them to be like this, they have to be set there already.
Yeah, it's the same feeling I got. I think they meant figuratively transported back as opposed to literally, because weren't acting like, oh, we're the modern characters and now we're here. They were acting like they were part of that world.
Robin, what's wrong? Batman, where's my iPhone?
Yeah, exactly. Which makes me much happier that they're native to that time frame.
Exactly.
So, because otherwise, you know, you got all the time travel crap you're going to have to deal with, and you know how it's going to end. So I much prefer this. So hopefully that's what it is, because Joker looks
really creepy.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. In which he should. So
in the Pennywise kind of, oh, yeah. Ooh, that's a creepy looking clown kind of way.
Yeah, exactly. He looks very much like they've combined the clown aspect with Japanese demons, which is awesome. So
it is. If you get a chance to find it, it's all over the net. Check it out.
Indeed.
Something else that's all over the net, and I've seen this in a lot of different places, because doing a show like this, we look up release dates of when things are coming out, right?
Right.
And that includes DVD releases. Now, I think just about every week since June, Despicable Me 3 has been released. And I can't figure every week I go to a number of DVD release websites to go, what did we miss for the show? And every week, the main thing being released this week is Despicable Me 3. I'm like, no, it's not. It's been out forever at this point. Have you been coming across that too? Or have I got some kind of minion virus on my computer?
You have a minion virus on your computer. They are definitely pushing this, though, as the holiday gift of the season. I mean, I've seen that.
It is.
I was looking in stores for that, and it's like, calm down.
Gifts for my kid on Amazon, and every page had at least one ad for Despicable Me 3, which I don't understand. It goes with the movie ratings thing, which you were talking about before the show.
Yes. This came up the other day because I was just flipping through Netflix because I was not feeling well and looking for something to watch. And, oh, look, there's a documentary about the monkeys. I thought, well, that could be pretty interesting, because there have been several documentaries, of course, about the Beatles. 8 Days a Week on Hulu. Excellent. Go watch that.
Yes.
So this is about the monkeys. Okay, this will be cool. Oh, it's not a documentary about the monkeys, which is what the description says. It's just this fictitious film that about the monkeys, which is okay, except the actors are awful. I turned it off after about 12 minutes because it was so suckitude full. It was trash. It was terrible. It was garbage. And it has 4 stars out of 5 ratings.
How?
Exactly. So, and I also watched The Little Hours, which we'll get to, which had 3 stars out of 5. Which, fine, if that's what people think, but there is no way in hell that that 58 people thought The Monkees was a really good movie. This goes back to when The Rock was complaining about Rotten Tomatoes and critics, blah, 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 and they ruined our movie. It's like, dude, the movie is what the movie is. And at least the critics are honest in their ratings, because no way in hell, unless everyone involved with the production of this utter piece of garbage decided to go on Amazon and vote for it, that this thing got 4 out of 5 stars. So basically, you're just going to have to take a chance and ignore what the hell the ratings are for anything and see if you like it or not. And if it's that bad, you'll figure it out in a few minutes. And if it's that good, you'll figure it out in a few minutes. I mean, there's not much risk when you're streaming something at home, put it that way. But
it's not like you went to a theater and paid $19.95 plus popcorn.
Yeah, true. And in those cases, yeah, maybe you want to pay a little more attention to, and I don't care if you pay attention to the critics' ratings or listen to us. That would be more smart on your part. Or just what viewers have done. Look at the customer ratings on Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb or whatever. But it just stunned me that this thing was so freaking awful and it had 4 stars. And you notice there are very few things that get poor ratings on Amazon Prime. I mean, there are tons of movies that have 4 stars or 4.5, and they're okay films. But people have, if these are legitimate, people have no concept of how ratings work. And especially when you read their reviews, it's like, well, it was pretty good, blah, blah, blah. And they give it 5 stars. It's like, are you drunk? Do you not know how these things work? So maybe it's just as well that Netflix ditched it. Maybe that's
pretty good is 3 stars.
Yeah, just bizarre. Very, very bizarre. Don't watch the Monkees documentary because it's not and it's awful.
No. I actually did catch some of that because my wife is a big fan of the Monkees.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, when we first got that a couple weeks ago. And no, she couldn't sit through it.
Yeah, it's.
She has instead gotten hooked on Medium with Patricia Arquette, which
I can't sit through.
Oh, dude, she's been binge watching that show. She's now on season 7.
Oh my gosh!
Which
my heart, oh, my dear God. My heart goes out to you. Isn't she finally better?
She is.
Tell her to stop binge watching.
Going back to work and everything. Well, I don't understand this. She'll leave it on, apparently just to get everybody else out of the room, I guess.
That's what it is.
I'm waiting for Elementary to come back because there's a show I could watch.
Yeah, that's true.
For some reason, it hasn't debuted this season. But they did announce that the upcoming season, which was supposed to have 13 episodes, now they've upped it to 21. Which sounds to me like some show on Sunday got canceled. But they haven't released a debut date for it yet, which is annoying. But I'm looking forward to that coming back. Something that's probably not going to be coming back. Excuse me. A number of things that are not coming back, including John Lasseter, the head of Pixar and Disney's animation studios, who was forced out a couple weeks ago due to the ever-increasing list of people added to these, sexual assault allegation things that we've been, I'm all in favor of the Me Too movement.
Yes.
But this one threw me off a lot because all of the claims against him, I have not seen any, oh, he groped me. Oh, he forced me to have sex with him. No, it's all unwanted hugs. And if unwanted hugs are a thing that can make you lose your job and go to jail or whatever, I've been to family reunions where I have had hugs forced on me. And while I didn't particularly care for them, I don't want to send my family to jail for them. That might be going a bit far, I would think, with the whole Me Too movement.
That seems like pushing the envelope, to put it lightly or bluntly. Because at some point there does have to be a line somewhere as to what's harassment and what's...
He looked at me and blinked. Well, something got in his eye when his head was turned that way.
Right.
Oh, send him to prison anyway. Hang on a minute.
Which, again, not to make light of the movement or the situation at all. I mean, this is not the Matt Lauer situation where he was groping people and exposing himself and had a a switch installed under his desk so he could lock the door to his office. That's a little different than hugging somebody.
I think so. Making light of it would be saying that the next person who's going to be coming up with these accusations is Caitlyn Jenner, who's going to accuse Bruce of holding a penis on her for many years. That's making light of the situation. Sorry, I saw that and I had to use it anyway.
That's lovely. Thank you. God, but yeah, and here I am laughing, which I'm sorry, can't help it. The hugging thing, because again, we weren't there. We don't know. Was it really just a hug? Or was it a little more than that? And, you know, it's hard to tell. And some people are super friendly and they hug everybody. And like personally, I was in HR for years and I made a point of not doing that at work because not appropriate. And that's what keeps you from getting outed 10 years later as being, you know, a sexual predator, because you don't do anything that can be construed that way, then nothing can be said. But yeah, that really makes you wonder, is like, really, just how far did this go? And again, it's one of these things, are there witnesses and did they feel the same way? Or is this just kind of literally the Me Too thing because maybe someone has an axe to grind? Hopefully that's not the case.
I'm worried that that's what's going to happen with this is I gave him an idea and he didn't want to use it. So I'm going to say that he did this.
Right. And that can happen. Certainly happen. That being said,
that might be the deal with Jeffrey Rush, who was added this week to the allegations list, to the point where he had to quit the Australian Academy for acting, I think it was, after a misconduct accusation.
Or the showrunner of Flash and Supergirl, Andrew Kreisberg, who has also been terminated. It's
from his job, not the planet. Just to clarify.
I don't know. I haven't seen him lately, so.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, by the way, to go back to a somewhat lighter topic, briefly, the name of the documentary the alleged documentary you wish to avoid at all costs is Daydream Believers, The Monkey's Story.
There we go.
Utter, horrible, disgusting, lousy trash. So that's the one to avoid.
You know what? Things to avoid. The Monkees trailer and sexual misconduct. But speaking of sexual misconduct, things to avoid, and feeling a bit rapey, which I believe was an adjective you used when describing this movie yesterday.
Yes, rapey.
You saw a movie called Little Hours.
The Little Hours, which is actually based on a very old book, The Decameron. The Little Hours is, and we saw the trailers for it months ago, and we were both,
and kind of went, whoa, yeah, what, really?
Laughing like hell, because it's this just insane story set in 1347 of nuns, and the nuns are just, they're wild and they're crazy. Aubrey Plaza.
Nuns gone wild.
Yeah, nuns gone wild. Aubrey Plaza is like the lead in this, and Aubrey Plaza, I think, is absolutely hilarious. She is the go-to actress if you want someone snarky and evil, evil in a good way. She's freaking hilarious, and she's great in this movie. This is one of those cases, though, where the trailer kind of showed you the best parts, and it's a good movie. It's a good movie. Okay. Speaking of the ratings, it's got 3 out of 5 stars on Amazon. I'm sure some of them are because, oh my God, this is utter trash. It's awful, so they gave it 1. It's a funny movie. It's definitely worth the rental. It was only 99 cents rental yesterday, by the way, on Amazon, which is why I thought, oh yeah, 99 cents. That's less than a cup of coffee at McDonald's, for God's sakes, let alone real coffee. So yeah, it was very funny. It's worth watching. Basically, they're rebelling. They don't really want to be in the nunnery, and they're being bad and doing terrible things, and they're terrible things as far as screaming obscenities at people just for looking at them and calling them perverts and everything else. And then there's a scene where the nuns, the females, get rapey, and they're jumping on this guy because they want to have sex. And it's pretty out there. And then things continue to change, and basically almost everyone at this thing is corrupt. John C. Reilly is in it. He's hilarious. Which, shock. John C. Reilly, of course he is. very, very funny. But yeah, this would not be rated 12A in Great Britain. No.
It had a red band trailer.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But very funny. If you're easily offended, no, you don't want to watch
this
it.
This isn't for you.
But if you're the kind of person who likes things that easily offend other people, then this is for you. Because it's way over the top, but it is very funny. Probably an hour and a half. It's a quick hit. And it definitely has a plot progression. It's not like it's just... if you like weird, off-the-wall things... The Little Hours is definitely very funny, and all the actresses are great. But it's about female empowerment in a way. So it's a perfect film. Matt Lauer should have to watch this several times, basically.
Oh, dear.
Actually, he would like it, so no, he should not be allowed to watch it ever. Let me change that.
Okay. Something I wanted to throw out the past couple shows, but we kept running out of time.
Like throw away?
No, not throw away completely. Just throw out there something because I want to interact with people who listen to the show. So here's what I want to have happen. I've created a game. Okay. This is a movie-based game.
Is it Jeopardy? Are you going to make a lot of money off it?
No.
Are you the new Merv Griffin? Not that I can say that.
Merv.
Anyway, yes.
So anyway, what I've come up with, it's kind of a name game. To go with movies, you take a name, any particular name, or even part of a name, and everyone in the movie has to have this name in it. For example, I came up with Cameron. All right. So, a film produced and directed by James Cameron, starring Cameron Diaz and Cameron Monaghan. A movie about a family moving from Cameron, Arizona to Cameron, Illinois. Cameron, guest starring former outfielder Mike Cameron, Steelers defensive end Cameron Hayward, and Alan Ruck. Do you get the last reference? Because if you don't, Alan Ruck was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Who did he play in Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Cameron.
Ta-da.
Also written by Cameron Crowe.
Oh, see, there's one I left out. Or the other one I came up with, Van.
Oh, yeah.
Produced and directed by Gus Van Sant, starring James Van Der Beek, Jean-Claude Van Damme, and Dick Van Dyke. The plot is a modern take on Van Helsing's road trip in a 1978 Dodge Custom Van. Guest appearances by Mario Van Peebles, Joan Van Ark, and the ghost of Dick Van Patten, with a special guest appearance by Todd Vandenberg.
Lovely.
Featuring a soundtrack of Van Morrison, Eddie Van Halen, and Ludwig Van Beethoven. Van. See, I think it's a fun, simple thing. You can do this with the families over the holidays.
That is a fun,
and I want to hear what you guys come up with.
That is a fun, simple thing.
It's a fun, simple thing. Come up with stuff like this. Send it to us. cinemasavants@coil.us. Coil, COYL. Send us stuff. I'd like to see what people come up with. Because Cameron just hit me, and I went, all right, where can I go with this? And then I did the van thing and went, you know what? This can be a fun thing. I'd like there to be more of these.
And for a real challenge, Smithwick.
Oi. Really? All right.
No. that would be fun. That would be fun, though. So I'm still thinking of the show, but I'm also thinking of what name? Anyway.
That can be a fun thing. I have now run out of stuff for this week's show.
I have one more thing. I did manage to get out of the house, despite the fact that I apparently had the
Oh, that's right. You went to go see something
flu.
Else that I forgot to put in the notes.
And that's right there in the notes. Anyway, I saw Three Billboards, literally, because they're in the movie, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. A really, really good film. This is one of the films, like Lady Bird, that actually did well at the box office because it's in wider release now, and it's... This is award bait season, so this is another one that pops in there. Frances McDormand stars as a woman whose daughter is raped and murdered, or murdered and raped, depending on exactly how things went.
The timeline.
Yeah, and she's quite unhappy about this, so she sets up three billboards, because she's unhappy about the fact that nothing has happened in the investigation. It's been 9 months. So she pays for three billboards outside town, asking the town sheriff or chief of police why has nothing been done? And it sets up a lot of controversy, and so it's kind of a character study about her and the chief of police, Woody Harrelson, and one of his deputies, played by Sam Rockwell, who is awesome in this movie. I mean, he typically is. But it's a little bit like a Coen Brothers drama. So there are a few light moments in it, but it's a drama. It's not a comedy, which, given the subject matter, you would hope it wasn't. But it's a really, really good movie. A lot of characters go on some pretty interesting character arcs, especially Sam Rockwell's character, the deputy. He turns out to be a little different than you thought he was going to be earlier in the film. Again, if you're looking for something that's thoughtful and interesting, go see Three Billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri. And Sam Rockwell there was one scene that it just really hit me. It's like, he would be perfect to play George W. Bush. Because there's one scene, he looks exactly like him. He has that weird little monkey face thing going, and he looks really stupid. So he would be a perfect George W. Bush. He'd be awesome playing Bush. I'm shocked he hasn't played him like 15 times already. And he could have an argument with the current president, who could be played by like a rotting piece of fruit. So that would be really cool. That's my political.
Oompa Loompa.
Yeah. So there you go. But Three Billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri. Really, really good film.
Cool. I tell you what's coming up next week, but we don't know yet. It hasn't happened.
So true.
So come back and listen next week, because we will have more stuff that will make you more educated and entertained on stuff.
And don't forget the movie game.
And don't forget the movie game.
Ariel! Oompa! Ride!
Do you think they would let me live in Montana?
I was thinking of the immortal words of Socrates, who said, I drank what?
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
Darn, that's the end.